Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom Zeta, the podcast where you're two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 64, and we'll be talking about episode 19 of Mobile Suit Gundam Zeta, Cinderella 4, in which the only glass that shows up is in shards, but it is on a lot of stairs. Come have a pure time, and believe in the sign of Zeta. You were about to say something.
I don't fucking remember.
No, that's fine. fuck it. Hello, everyone. <Mobile Suit Gundam.
laughs> Holy shit!
Yeah, what?
You really faked me out that time, because it's like, I'm used to you trying to, like, get a bunch of, like, pre-roll going. Before you ambush, I was 1000%. I was legitimately surprised that time.
Yeah, good. Welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom. I'm Ambusher Fuzzy, as always.
I'm Ambushy Chris.
Yep.
As always.
As are the rest of you. Well, no, I guess you click on this podcast and.
You kind of knew something was happening.
Yeah, you're roughly aware when this is coming in.
So last episode, we talked about how this episode is named Cinderella 4, and it's a very good name, and yeah, like, you've written here, that's a very good title for this, it delivers, and I thought the exact same thing, like, just tonally, they immediately are like, guess what, motherfuckers, we're gonna make you feel things about 4.
Yeah, it really delivers on this title in a variety of ways and themes, and, like, the more I think about it, the more connections I can draw to it. It's really good. Thank you, Tomino. Good shit. That good shit, good shit. All of that's deep fried. like the memes. So we title card slide into a pan of the Adumla. It's gonna get worse every time until that ship crashes, I hope you realize.
I like the name of Doom.
I do like it too. I wonder what it is, like what it's supposed to be, or if that is just Tomino throwing shit at the dartboard again. It can be 50-50. It could be something we just haven't heard of, or it could be... Tomino. Just the raw creative energy force that is Tomino's brain spawning new linguistic roots that have no basis in reality. So while we go there, Hayato informs us that we're being evicted today in Check's Watch 5 hours. That's not actually a joke. The mayor of Hong Kong called and was like, you gotta go.
You gotta fucking leave.
We would like you to leave this place because shit keeps exploding. It's fair. Beltorchica even agrees. Like, you know?
Yeah. We should probably bail.
Yeah, we've maybe overstayed our welcome by 2 mech fights.
There exactly
have been 2 mech fights.
Yeah. So there's a weird scene where Camille is in a hallway and Amuro, like, walks through and it says, like, hey, blah, blah, or whatever. And then, like, pretends to leave, or he does leave. He just comes back because.
Yeah, this part's really weird.
Yeah. He comes back and, like, just watches Camille, who's, like, was pushing a cart or something, he's part of the AV club.
Yeah, I think he was just doing some shit, maybe he was passing out food because it looks kind of like the food carts.
And he just kind of, like, slumps over the food cart and, like, gets lost in his mind for a moment. And Amuro watches him and is like, hey, Hayato's going to beat the shit out of you if you're slacking.
I'll be honest, the 3-beat pause of Camille going from doing something to very much not doing something. And Amuro just looking on and being like, I'm not going to stop it quite yet, but I should probably snap him out of that.
Yeah.
All right, now it's time. Like, yeah, also, that's relatable. That's relatable mecha protagonist content.
Yeah, also, like, yeah, just, like, I've been there, been doing something, and then just, like, stop and...
Ah, dissociating in a hallway. It's a classic. Been there too,
buddy. Who among us have not, yeah.
Every fucking protag in a 10-mile radius is like,
huh. I'm not even a protag. I'm just a person living in 2019.
Oof. Hey, on the upside, we're all ripe for jumping in a robot right now. I don't like that we're all ripe for jumping in a robot right now. This is not the way I wanted this to go. I was hoping for a G Gundam situation, but like the youthful way of G Gundam, where you've completely missed all the horrors of war, and it's just a fun fight. I want that. Can we do that instead?
Yeah. So, Amuro is like, are you in love with that or something? Like, he's talking about four, and he's like, no, it's nothing like that. I'm not falling in love or anything. It's not romantic, but there's some kind of weird pull towards her. And Amuro's like, oh no. Oh no, buddy.
Amuro's like, wait. Specifically, up until that point, Amuro was pretty like, oh, that's just like, oh, she must be, you both have insight. It's fine. Or you both. Yeah. You're young, you're hormonal, excuse. But then he says, a pull, two people with insight have a physical pull towards each other, to which Amuro goes, oh, what? Repeat that, run that one back on me again? And then Beltorchka fucking interrupts. Amuro clams up so goddamn hard.
Yeah, that... just you can hear the safe vault locking.
Yeah. This is the moment where we change Amuro's Pokemon typing to water, because apparently that's a fucking Shellder, and we all didn't know.
He used Harden.
Straight up, yeah. He is snapped up and walks away after whispering... Camille, don't fucking trust that lady, and don't get too close to her.
Maybe you should avoid her.
Fucking ask me why. And then he walks off as if that wasn't the most ominous fucking thing you could do.
To which Beltorchka is like, hey, Amuro, I'm trying to talk to you about this. And fucking Mirai kickflips out in the goddamn hallway. He's like, yo, respect boundaries, motherfucker.
Fucking Mirai appears with her sword. Immediately, give Mirai a sword.
Give her a sword.
Give Mirai a sword. 1983. Who are we hiring for that shirt?
Oh my god,
that's our merch. God, I'd actually buy that. Fuck. thinks about it for a second. Mirai does actually like confront Beltorchka of like, you're acting fucking weird, dude. And also not respecting any sort of boundaries and getting way too close to people like instantly. That's not how relationships work, my dude.
She literally says like, he obviously does not want to talk about this. Don't push him. Which is just solid advice. Like, sometimes you gotta let people fucking have their shit.
Yeah, thank you, Mirai.
Especially if you've known him for literally 3 days.
Yeah, like, it's been... I'm gonna guess, you know, we're missing a few days here and there, right?
It hasn't because been anime, that long, though.
It's been, like, a week, maybe. It can't have been much longer than a week, maybe, right?
Right. I think a week is literally the longest I would put this relationship at.
Yeah. Yo! Yo's into the infinity. I don't... Beltorchka, please. Is the summary of this conversation. Beltorchka doesn't listen at all, and until Mirai basically tells her to fuck off and walk away. She does, and Mirai immediately turns to Camille and goes, okay, I'm not going to bullshit you, sweet child, oh mine. Come with me, it's time to adopt you. Yeah. I noticed you were missing parents, and I'm low on war orphans right now. Frog took all of them. So, come over here.
No, that fucking asshole just took all the orphans.
Took all the war orphans.
I had to have my own children like a fucking scrub.
Oh, God. It's... Yeah, no, that's exactly what happens, essentially. Mirai does give Camille basically all the information I think she's aware of about Lala. I mean, it's a short conversation because she doesn't know very much, but it's clear that she is aware that some type of new type fuckery happened, because over the course of this conversation, Mirai establishes they Lala and Amuro literally met on a battlefield and fought and knew each other for like 3 days. And yet they had this strange connection where he's still traumatized about her. Don't you think that's weird, kid? And Camille's like, yeah, that sounds like love, but that would be impossible between two people who met within that little time, right?
Yeah.
And Mirai's exact words are, and yet that is their relationship. And she walks away.
Yeah, I think in English she was a little more subtle about that, but also more ominous. Is like, she's, I think she said something about like, yeah, so you should probably be careful or something.
Yeah, this episode's gonna be a weird one, and as I was watching it, I was 95% sure we're gonna run into this a few times, of the translation's probably gonna be really different. Because this one is some high-tier mecha shit.
This one, I was sad. I was sad most of the, like, even when things were happy, I was sad because I knew better.
Welcome to mecha.
Anyways.
It. That's the genre. Melancholy.
Camille does like, oh fuck, is for my Lala? Which, yeah.
Yeah.
I think she is, buddy.
Yeah.
I think bad news. This is for those of you keeping track, Tomino has walked outside and has started to hook the death flag into the pole.
Uh-huh. He has also filed the paperwork. And within a little while, the parade will be lining up. The 21 guns will start loading. We'll be ready when the time comes.
Yeah. So
this is also the point in the episode where I pinged Chris and was like, Tomino furiously looking around. Oh God, I have 4 episodes to get Camille just as traumatized as Amuro. How do I do it? The Hong Kong arc.
Mm.
This is how.
Mm.
Oh, God.
I feel so bad.
Yeah. That's
so.
This is something broader about mecha I find kind of interesting that we do have to do sometimes. Of to like break new ground, you kind of have to get. You have to break your new protagonist through the ice that has freezed over, right? Since the last icebreaker came through to catch up.
So. We cut to 4, who is wandering around Hong Kong, being real weird. She almost gets ran over by a truck.
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
Yeah, she's just...
It's real bad.
Yeah, she's just lost in thought in Hong Kong and very... Very depressed war orphan. Weird. Who has no purpose and is conflicted. It's weird how this all shakes
out. She also, in English in this episode, refers to herself as a war orphan.
Yeah, she does do that in Japanese.
She means like, are you listening to our podcast? What's going on?
Yeah.
She is a cyber news type. She may have saw through time and reality.
You know?
So we cut back to Camille. You know how in the previous episode, I think it may have been last episode, he fucking ramped a rental into the Adumla and stole it? Well, yeah. Instead of stealing that,
he's not going to return that car. No, no.
No. He GTAs a motorbike that someone has left the keys in.
Yes, the keys, which also clearly say Luio on them.
Uh-huh.
So he steals a company car or company dirt bike, which also in and of itself. Why do we have a company dirt bike?
I don't know, but it's fucking... I imagine that's like a Hong Kong thing, right? Like, you can get bikes places you can't get cars, right? So it's probably...
Yes, yeah, that makes sense.
It probably makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah,
he steals a bike.
He steals a bike. rides it into Hong Kong. Meanwhile, the bad guys are slapping some shit on the psycho because Woodward is gonna pilot the fucking thing, because fuck you.
Wooter.
Out of the... Yeah, that one, Wooter. Woodward? Whatever.
Wooter. So, Wooter. Bill Wooter. So he... yeah, he's... Benny Hill. He steals... He's like, oh, fuck it, we can't trust cyber new types. We need to retrofit this thing for humans. For normal... what's the word?
Old
what's
types.
The non-new... Old types, there we go. For old types.
Now, funnily, from what I've heard, later you see Gundam, old types get mad offended by being called old types. We will be calling them old types. We are all old types here.
Yeah.
Get fucked. It's fine.
We accept that we are old and dying and need to be thrown into the fire.
Eventually.
I
think we're all right. We're,
I don't trust any of us.
Fair. Fair. Just let the fucking deer take over. Just fucking throw open the gates and let the fucking cows take it back.
Yeah.
Just turn Earth into the fucking cow secret cow level. That's the secret.
Yeah. So, Wooter says, this is fine, and if we have to burn Hong Kong to the ground, so be it.
Straight up, he does say that he will turn Hong Kong into a sea of fire.
Yeah, I think the translation is pretty one for one so far, honestly. I think, because a lot of these lines are the exact same. I think it's just Mirai's was a little
maybe.
Different.
I'm worried this next part's what's gonna get real fucky.
So speaking of this next part,
yeah,
Four is in a server bank.
I thought it was a container yard.
A container yard. It's, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a container yard.
It's unclear where she is, but she's being tailed by a Titan sergeant. He calls her Number Four, and she slaps his shit for deigning.
She don't like that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Do not do that, you son o' bitch.
They get surprised by a strange shadow.
Strange shadow steps out and reveals that it's our boy in his sweet little sweater.
This is so weird because, like, the shadow slinks back behind the thing. No one says anything. No one says, like, come out and show yourself. Are we open fire? No one says anything.
Oh,
he slinks back hiding.
They
say
that in the Japanese.
Oh, they don't say shit in the English. He just kind of steps back. They think they say, like, who's that or whatever. And he steps back out in full sight.
Weird. In the Japanese, the sergeant goes, who is that? Come out. And Camille steps out and is like, hey, I'm Camille.
Hi, it's me.
Hello. Four goes, Camille, what the fuck are you doing here, my
and
guy?
And then her demeanor changes quite a bit. She turns back to the sergeant and is like, hey,
I need a favor.
Buddy. She tries to order him back, and he points the fucking gun at her. And she's like...
Which, good argumentative skills. Yeah.
She's like, okay, well, what if I promise to come back by midnight? And then she
apologizes. We're both gesticulating at the title card that we're holding.
But then she said, like, she apologizes for hitting him. Top notch diplomacy there.
Sorry, I used my cyber muscles to slap your shit out.
I'm sorry, I didn't use my words. I just really don't like being called that.
Yeah.
He agrees, but gives her a transponder and says, you have to wear this.
And she's then like, fucking.
And then she runs into Camille's arms.
A power ballad starts.
A power ballad starts. I started laughing so fucking hard.
We both separately start laughing our fucking faces off because all other audio cuts out and it's just a fucking power ballad. Fucking guitar solo. A guy going ham on a Stratocaster. Screaming into the night as these two embrace and fucking spin around. The background goes bright white. They teleport to a rooftop, I guess, via the power of youthful exuberance. The guitar keeps going as she just like plays with a fence and runs.
Yeah,
her
she
hand
also
across.
Real cool. I know she's supposed to be running her fingers across a chain link fence like playfully,
yeah.
But it just looks like she's Naruto running.
I
Good God, yeah.
I do listen to the Naruto soundtrack just for shit sometimes, because Haruka Kanata slaps. Also, the band who did that song is called Asian Kung Fu Generation, which is a great band name, right? Like, yes. Worth it for that alone.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. They sit down. She sits down, and he, like, comes and sits down next to her, and she immediately lays down, and they talk about how much the adults suck, what it's like being a mecha pilot.
This fucking scene is an entire mecha anime in and of itself, condensed into, like, 2 minutes. This is the hash oil of mecha anime.
This whole time, I'm like, oh, I just want these crazy kids to make it. And also, I know they're not.
Yeah.
Those thoughts come at the same time. Like, they overlay over each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts my goddamn heart.
Yep.
I'm too much of a fucking marshmallow for this bullshit. This is painful.
They lure you in with giant robots, but then it's all actually sad and about human relationships and how tragic they are.
So, for those keeping track, death flag goes all the way up in this scene.
It is at the top of the mast.
Because they fucking kiss. She says, kiss me, I think, right?
Yeah, they have this brief talk. Let me hit those rough points real quick. They hit the mobile suits, the adults suck. She scoots real up close. Camille is like, oh. There's like a solid moment, too, where we get over Camille's shoulder and see Four's face. And like her eyes track his whole face up and down. Not something I see very often in anything.
Yeah.
Thank you, 80s anime, for all that cocaine.
Yeah.
She then does ask him to kiss her. He obliges, and is the first one to then cut it off and stand up.
Mm-hmm.
She asks him, or first she says, thank you, you're very sweet, and then reveals her tragic backstory.
She says, I'm a war orphan.
There's
some soft synth music.
The saxophone starts. We get the hard confirm that she is number 4 because she is the fourth one from Murasame Laboratory, and she does not have her memories. We don't have any confirmation she is a clone. She may or may not be a clone.
But she says, they have my memories.
Yes. Camille responds by saying, but you can make new memories now via the choices you make and what you do in the future.
Which is a good line now. But I, like, in retrospect, they're doing this to hurt me later. Tomino, you're a dick.
They then embrace. Before we keep going, want to play in this space for a second.
I don't want to.
A few things that I find very interesting about this scene. One,
okay.
Camille obliging the kiss in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, he is very opposed to the idea that this relationship might be romantic.
Yeah.
Yet he obliges this anyway. Yet I can't read him as having a romantic attachment to the kiss, and afterwards I think she doesn't either. Even if she may have started that way. This is that mecha shit again, and specifically what I'm talking about with this scene is the memories line is what a lot of this is, and what that this big theme is in almost every mecha show as we go forward, of giving it, and really a lot of anime when you really think about it, of an evil person gets a choice to change and create something new and keep going and evolve, or perish, frankly.
Yeah.
Perishing sometimes takes several seasons, but fundamentally that's usually how it comes down to.
Yeah.
Mecha likes to do that sometimes literally and with a lot more sci-fi bullshit going on, because usually they have a lot more sci-fi bullshit to play into.
Right.
Often making some of these subtextual things literal by literally taking memories, doing amnesia, all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
As such, I think this was literally Camille being like, she just wants a memory. Even without having the conversation yet, because I'm aware that happens after they smooch. They're aware of that because they're space psychics.
Yeah, I think there's you're not wrong here. Yeah. I think there's also another layer on top of this is they're both people who haven't who have had their lives fundamentally altered by war.
Yeah,
and their trajectory, like their childhoods have been put on hold, put in stasis, put killed, destroyed, set on fire.
Yeah,
yeah. And they didn't have, they don't know, they know that they're supposed to have, they know they have feelings, and they know romance is a thing, and they know kissing's a thing that you do, but they have this pull towards each other, and, but they don't know, they don't, this isn't a normal arc, they don't have a way, there's no normal way to express these things for each other, and so it's all just kind of fucking mixed up and weird.
Yep. Which.
So I think there's also a bunch of that, is these kids trying for just a fucking moment to be kids and not succeeding at it.
Yeah, that's 100%. And this is yet again another big mecha thing, because of who mecha as a genre is often aimed at. Young people discovering all sorts of shit about themselves. You're 100% nailing it on the head. It's super confusing. It's a confusing time.
This whole scene
is changing. You're becoming a psychic who can see time. It's a weird moment when you can see time and also are growing hair in weird places.
Yeah.
And some of them are ingrown. That's not great either.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a really impactful scene, and they fucking ollie out of it in such a fucking impactful way by carpet bombing Hong Kong.
Yeah.
There's just screams and fire to yank us out of this moment.
Yes, they were embracing sweetly after realizing that, you know, maybe there is like a chance for people. And then Hong Kong's on fucking fire. The psycho gets launched, and as Four and Camille start watching this, Four all of a sudden gets this pit in her gut, as she gets the same feeling off of Camille as she got from the Mark II, just as the Mark II was trying to fucking kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically that moment. This is a good time to remember, they don't know that the other is in the pilot, is the pilot of that suit.
Yeah, they know that they are enemy pilots.
Yes.
But they do not know which specific
yep.
things they are.
Camille asks Four to come back to the Doomla, but she, but she wants her memories and hates, specifically she says, I hate not having the comfort of my memories. I have no past to turn to in times of need.
And she says, that's not something someone with parents would understand.
Big oof.
Oof. Yeah. He doesn't have parents, and the memories he had are pretty bad.
Yeah. And of course she doesn't know that. And
no.
Yeah. She runs and he chases, and there's a couple of really neat shots in this section as she runs away from him. When he eventually catches up to her and grabs onto her shoulder, we don't actually get like a full wide shot of them because, you know, 4:3 aspect ratio. So it's her, but then his reflection in the mall window and his hand just coming in, and I'm like, fuck yeah!
Yeah.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, it's a really good visual storytelling there.
It's really good.
Not visual storytelling, but visual.
I mean, theming. There's some of that too. I'm sure if we wanted to play in that space, we could, but this is an audio media, and that's more of a video essays thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let someone on YouTube take that one. she does inevitably give him the slip after yelling into his face, "Don't you get who I am?" before finally disappearing into the crowd. There's also a shot immediately after she says that of the psycho, and then back to them, and then she vanishes into the crowd, and the screen goes white. We cut over to the Adoomla and Steph landing on it, and then the Adoomla backs away from the dock. Amuro jumps into Erechtheus, launches as well. The psycho and Woodward are not... really are not getting along. Amuro realizes... It's bad, he crashes into a skyscraper.
Just immediately.
Constantly, he's just like, who designs a mech this way? What the fuck? Yeah. This is terrible.
It's just not listening to him. This is where he starts to lament, like, oh, maybe a psycho, maybe Psycho Gundam is only pilotable by a cybernetic type.
That's in a bit.
There's also the bit where Amuro's like, I could destroy this thing right the fuck now, but it's a nuclear reactor, and this is the middle of Hong Kong.
That would be nuking Hong Kong.
I guess I gotta not do that. And then we get a... Where the fuck are we? Okay, so we've got an email, Cha. I probably should have sent out next month's messages, because we're so, like, so far ahead of everything now, but I didn't do that. So we don't have any messages. But we've got another email, Cha, from Mike B. Let's see, this is the easy one we got here is first, no context, first impression of the MS-18E Kampfer with a K.
MS-18E Kampfer.
It's very blue.
There's an umlaut in there. All right.
it's got a big old horn.
Ooh.
It got a sword and a bunch of guns.
This is like the Murasai goofed. Or Marasai got goofed.
Yeah, it is that. You're right. This is very good.
This is very good.
I'm
wondering is actually the... That's the prototype.
I like the asymmetrical shoulders. It's got a spiky shoulder and a smooth shoulder.
Yep. Looks very fast.
It does my three color rule. Honestly, almost just two colors. There's just some yellow accents in there.
Yeah. Man, this is... late 80s design when everything got real smooth.
Yeah. Good shit. Yeah, a bunch of shoulder thrusters.
This reminds me a lot of, actually, the... I don't know when in relation, actually, War in the Pocket came out to Two Char's Counterattack, but this reminds me a lot of my favorite, the Sazabi. It's got a lot of the same kind of lines. This feels like the Zaku if the Sazabi was the upgrade, you know?
Uh-huh.
I like him. I like this boy.
Mm-hmm. It's a good lad.
Also looks like he punched the shit out of someone. Uh-huh. With fucking forearms.
Also's got like little claw toes.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have little claw toes. That's good shit. He also apparently comes with a disposable rocket launcher he can pull out, which is dank.
Fuck yeah.
Chain mine.
What
the fuck is that? Chain mine.
It's obviously a mine that like goes.
A number of disc-shaped mines connect.
Or a bunch of mines on a chain that he just whips at people.
That's what I was hoping it was, actually. Of it, like a mine.
Look, it's Gundam. It could have been that.
I realize fundamentally that second thing we have described is just the grenades from Gears of War, which. Yeah, I would really like to see that in a Gundam, actually. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Mike B's second question. It's for you specifically. Uh-huh. Fuzzle. What Gundam material have you previously seen and are most excited for Chris to watch in an upcoming episodes of the podcast, and why? Withholding any spoilers, of course.
All right. The full list of where I'm at so far with Gundam. I've seen 0079, obviously. I've seen Char's Counterattack, but it's been many years. I was very young. I have seen Wing, I have seen G all the way through, including Endless Waltz on the Wing side. I have seen almost all of 00. I missed a couple of episodes because I was doing it amongst a group of friends of Chris and I, actually.
I was not watching that.
Yeah.
That was my wife.
Yes. But it was other friends. It's people you know. But I've seen most of 00, so I know the kind of the shtick. I did, at some point when I was younger, watch, like, the back half of the first season of Seed because it was playing somewhere. So not a lot of relationship with that. I've seen all of IBO.
So, okay. You're giving us a whole list of everything you've said, you've seen, yes. But not answering the question.
Well, that's what I have experience with.
What do you have experience with? Are you most excited for me to interact with?
And that's where I'm getting to in a minute, in a second.
Okay, fine.
I have to establish the baseline to then continue. Yep. Because that's also like everything.
I regret saying anything.
Punk ass.
Just go, motherfucker.
Fucking.
Pick you up and eat you in the sun.
Try me. I'm denser than God.
I'm not going to talk again until you finish this job.
So, I'm really excited for Chris to get to G, obviously. Hot damn. I need to see him get through that entire thing, because it's going to be a glorious fucking mess.
Mm.
Because it's A, mess, but B, like, it's also my favorite because it's a mess, so I'm hype for that, and to just put a bunch of shit on that doesn't exist, because it's G Gundam, what are we working with?
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of things, I'm pretty excited for us to get to Wing, actually, just so
my answer to this question is Wing, because I know it's bad, and B...
Oh, God, no, stop, don't hurt us, God! Get away from the keyboards!
Wing was my first Gundam, and I love it. But I went back and tried to watch it a few years ago, and it's fucking bad.
It's not great, no. I think I've talked about this before, but like 00 and Wing are pretty similar on the baseline. They go different places, but like the setup is pretty similar. Mm-hmm. I think 00 does it better overall. Endless Waltz does fix a lot of Wing, makes a lot better from what I remember. It's also been a long time.
It's been a long time. Wing is going to be a really interesting one in 20 years when we finally get there.
I'm also super excited for Char's Counterattack because I'm really excited for Chris to just experience all of that.
Oh no!
It's a lot to deal with all at once.
Oh no!
And it's also not like a good movie.
Oh no!
It's very. It was supposed to be like a full 12 episode thing, and it is a 3-hour movie.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Okay. So we got another Cha, and we have to run through this one fast. I feel like I know the answer. This is another question for you from Sean. New to Gundam overall, but have only watched through the original series and Zeta so far. Does Gundam ever fully embrace fully automated luxury gay space communism, or am I stuck with only Star Trek?
God, I think in some of the weirder ones, and someone that is specifically, I am calling out Gunfam to come to me in my time of need on Twitter. I think some of the air quote weirder Gundams, like fuck the one we were gushing over, the mustache Turn A.
Oh, Turn A. Okay.
I think Turn A has some of that. I think Reconquista in G, or however you pronounce that first word, has some of that. Technically speaking, if you live in space in G Gundam, you have space communism, but if you live on Earth, you are mondo fucked. Otherwise, no, unfortunately, classism and the turmoil of war is an inherent part of Gundam, so if you want your luxury space communism, you might have to go somewhere else. I highly recommend Lancer.
Right, which is an RPG.
Which is an RPG, not a show. You'll have to make your own content, but
which is fine. Then you can make it
anyway,
fully automated
fucking
space.
Yeah, fully automated space communism.
Yeah.
Gay space communism. Excuse me. Thank you.
So we've got another thing from Alolan.
Yes.
I should probably call him Roy, right? Like,
I do the same thing where I go with the first the first word I'm presented with as well.
Right.
Which
okay.
is why I put fuzzy in mine.
Yeah. So
chase your bliss.
We've got another one of these, but if we're gonna, they take a long time. So if we're gonna do them, you have to promise me we'll get through the second half of this episode fast.
All right. What time are we at?
We're at 48 right now, which is fine, but we need to stay under an hour and a half total.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. So we've got a Halloween. Oh wait, when is this coming out?
Actually, yeah.
This come out after Halloween. Shit. Oh well, fine, whatever. You'll get it.
You are too late.
Goddamn.
But you tried, and we appreciate it.
I'm excited. So this is a very special Halloween episode, Virgin. Sorry, that's going to be just what you do is you need to save this episode for next Halloween.
Then you'll have hopefully two episodes for that Halloween. We're gonna miss it again.
We're
absolutely gonna miss it.
So this is gonna be a Halloween episode of Guess If This Is a Real Gundam or Not.
Yeah, yep. Number one, Devil Gundam.
Yes. We've seen it. Showed it to me as a part of this before, I think.
Possibly, but yes, Devil Gundam is real. He is the primary antagonist, or one of the primary antagonists of G. Crossbone Gundam.
I want it to be real, and I want it to be a pirate Gundam.
Chris, I'm about to make all of your fucking dreams true, because you are double right!
Fuck!
You're two!
Yes!
You're
my god!
This one.
Oh my god!
It is a pirate, Chris! It's a pirate ship!
And it's got a literal crossbones on its back and its forehead!
Smoke.
It does have a cloak. Holy shit. Oh my god. God damn it. Gundam's good.
Gundam is good, actually.
I like the Chaws because then we get to be Wow Cool Robot for 5 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
Before we get back into Oh No, War's Bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next up, the Gundam Age 2 Wolf with 2 Fs.
Yeah, the 2 Fs are what's throwing me. I want to say it's fake, but that's 2 Fs, man. Who just does that?
Maybe the second F is for fake.
Good. Okay, I'm going with fake.
You're wrong. I misled you.
God damn it.
I led you astray.
Holy shit, look at this edgy piece of shit.
Right?
It's got a third arm. It's got one extra arm.
It's got a fuck you arm.
It's got a second, it's got a, like a bonus arm.
Yeah, that arm is exclusively for making your day
worse. This Gundam is piloted by fucking Vincent Valentine.
God. The RMS 116 Gespook.
That's fake.
You think it's gotta be fake?
Gespook is fake.
Gespook is fake.
Gespook is fake. Why are you laughing? This can't be real.
Because this was a new image was sent to us. It's not the old classic. Instead, it's a very bad JPEG of a skeleton with Comic Sans get spooked kid lol.
This is terrible. Alolan, you're fired.
It's wonderful. Shit, hold on. I have to plug in my headphones real quick.
Okay.
Come over here, USB thing. The light tinging noise is a nice sound effect. Need to remember that for the future. Just hit a swell water bottle for a nice chime. Why do I do this blind every time?
I don't know
either. It just takes longer. And then I
just
don't...
look, no one's watching you. You can try to, you don't have to try to be
it.
Cool.
I did it already. And why am I like this? Alright. The EMS-06 Batala. Batala.
No, you skipped one.
Did I? No, I said Gespook already.
Oh, Batala. Never mind. I was just too excited about the next one. I'll be honest, Batala just sounds like... because it's bat! It's bat!
Yep.
I see. Okay. Yep. I'm gonna say this one's real.
You wanna say it's real?
I wanna say it's real. I want to believe in this one.
You want to believe in a thing called love?
I do believe in a thing called Love Is the Thing.
Good, because you know what? It is fucking real, and it's also from Crossbone. It's the Crossbone Zaku.
Oh my god, look at its eyes! Look at its little skull face! Oh my fucking god!
Yeah! Cool robot!
What the fuck?
Fuck yeah, cool robot.
Ah!
Right?
Ah! Ah, wait, this is from a manga. Shit.
Yeah, we'll have to read that one on our own time, I guess.
Yes.
But God, fuck,
I still haven't read
good.
The other one.
I will
that's
say,
very good.
This is heavily inspired by something. It looks a lot like the mech suit Space Pirate Harlock guys have.
Oh, it does. You're right.
So, at least it seems to me that it's like, yeah, they're basing it off that. God, I love him. Next. Too many fucking tabs. The Gundam Franken.
So this is another one of those things where I know this is probably fake, but I really want it to be real, and I want it to be, a golem made of different dead Gundams.
Oh.
Oh, no. What's
that saying? You might be right.
Okay, let me see.
It is real. It's from a G Gundam.
What the fuck is this?
This is... the unusual large mobile fighter was developed by a Neo-Swiss scientist who wanted to join the Gundam fight on their own. However, the mobile fighter ran away after being infected by Devil Gundam cells.
This is dumb. Gundam's dumb.
This was literally featured in, like, a full-page spread in New Type magazine next to... Did you click on the wiki link?
Yeah.
Scroll down and just open the magazine. Are you looking at this magazine page?
I am looking at this magazine page.
So... we gotta tweet this one out because
I kind of want that octopus Gundam.
Look at its legs. Its legs are man legs.
Yeah, I know.
Its legs are dude legs.
I'm super aware.
Oh, why does it have a man face too?
Why does it have a weird bulb?
Oh god! And then the Kappa Gundam that's next to it.
Yeah.
Not better. Worse
no.
Even.
Nah, it's not good.
And then, I don't know what's going on in the bottom left besides, I think that's a Zord?
Zord. That is a Zord.
Meruhen Gundam? Hold on, I'm not gonna go through all of New Type magazine, fuck that. Alright, Franken, real terrifying. I hate seeing it.
No, it's not good.
No. Oh man!
It is exactly what I said, and not what I had in mind, though.
Yeah, Chris, today's a good day. The AGE-2DH Gundam Age 2 Dark Hound.
You added a bunch of things that aren't in this tweet, so this one's real.
Yeah, yeah, it fucking is. And look at it! Look at it! It's another.
Oh! It's got hooks!
What a bountiful fucking harvest!
What a garbage monster this is! Look at this edgy shit!
God, he has hooks and hacks!
This Gundam, if you ask this Gundam like an emotional question, it will just turn around and walk away in silence.
As it should. God in heaven.
Oh, and it's got a Strider mode. Oh! That's bad.
Is it? Oh, it's bad?
It looks like a mosquito. Like it's gonna mosquito your ass.
It is gonna. It is flying straight up your asshole. And, and it keeps going. That thing turns over, you can... I will bet you $1 you can see its head. And it looks bad.
Yeah.
I can see this model kit in my head, and it's not good. The Transform, at least.
Yeah.
Next up, okay. Mummy Gundam.
Do I dare wish again. Do I dare hope?
Do you dare wish?
This one's fake. I'm going to say this one's fake.
You think this one's fake?
I think it's a little too on the nose.
You are correct. The Mummy Gundam is fake. However, do not be afraid. We do have some racial pastiches for you nonetheless. Okay. Courtesy of G Gundam, we do have the Pharaoh Gundam 4, which in English, in the English dub, it is called the Mummy Gundam.
Weird.
So technically a half right. We also have Sphinx Gundam. Both of them look exactly how you think they do. Well, yes. Excuse me. The Sphinx one looks exactly how you think it does. Pharaoh Gundam looks actually pretty good. I'm gonna link you that one real quick.
Link me that.
Here's a little bone. Nope, that's the age two again.
That's that edgy boy.
I wanted you to see him again.
Yeah. I'm not against it. It's a good Gundam. He does have the nice shoulders and hip thingies.
Yes.
I like those. He has the World of Warcraft shoulder pauldrons.
Pauldrons are good, man.
They are.
Alright, next up. The Gun Onyx Witch.
This one and the next one, if they aren't real, we need to fix that and make them real. I'm gonna say real.
Alright. So, the Gun Onyx Witch is real. Unfortunately, it's from a mobile card game, but hot damn would I not buy that suit immediately.
This is the Dark Magician girl as a mech.
And that's what it's I said, yeah.
This is weird. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Heresy. I can also tell that she's based on Nobel Gundam, and I love Nobel Gundam. You haven't seen Nobel Gundam, have you?
No.
Oh, we'll get there.
Oh, God.
Next up, the RM-666A Tears.
So this is the one where if this doesn't exist, I want it to, and I want it to be my Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it has the number 666 in it, mm-hmm. and I don't think that I think that's not real. I think this is not real. But I want it to be. Why are you giggling? What are you giggling to me?
It's a Gungan.
Don't like this. He's got an executioner's hood, too. This
yeah.
is bad.
Yeah, she, this is a member of the Gungan High Council. Tears.
Not a fan of this lady, this Gungan lady.
Not a fan of Tears for Fears?
No, I love Tears for Fears. Okay, right. we gotta get this out of my fucking head.
All right, so, Lord have mercy. Next, Skull Gundam.
Yes, this is real. It's a little too subdued. I think Alolan's like psyching me out, but I'm gonna say it's real. Skull Gundam sounds very plausible.
Yeah. What do you think Skull Gundam looks like?
A skull.
Congratulations, Chris. You got another 100. Unfortunately.
Oh no!
Unfortunately, you were completely correct.
This is ugly.
Gaze upon its human feet. Gaze upon its toes.
It's got toes, Fuzzy.
It's human toes.
And tiny little chicken legs. This is a Dr. Robotnik looking motherfucker.
My mind also went into the similar zone, but to Wily instead. Yeah, but very same vibe. Yeah, this is the Gundam of Neo Malaysia, and I'm not sure what the linkage is there, but alright.
I don't know either. I like, the thing is, the shoulders are and the skirt are dope. Everything else, very bad.
Very bad.
This is maybe my least favorite Gundam.
Honestly, I think I know what I want out of this. I want its body to be different, because I like the idea, conceptually, of very bony arms and legs.
Yeah, but not like a weird spherical barrel chest, like...
Yeah, I
don't like this.
I would have much preferred bones, like a rib cage situation.
No thanks. Okay, what we got?
Terrifying.
One more. See if we can.
The last one, Spectre Zero.
This is one where I'm like, this is a mecha from a different show.
Uh huh.
It's gotta be. Someone said this is not a Gundam.
This is all I was linked.
Just a ghost that says it is a mystery.
Yeah. It's just a little ghost. It is fake. Spectre Zero is fake. It's just
okay.
Just a little ghost.
I...
Roy, thank you for this bounty of pirate Gundams.
It's... Yeah, honestly, this is worth it just for all the pirate Gundams. I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you for Skull Gundam and Franken Gundam, honestly. I'll get over it. We'll be okay. But I need you to not talk to me for like a week or two.
But like, honestly, imagining the Crossbone, the Darkhound, and the fucking Battaglia just like hanging out on the same giant fucking space battleship Yamato looking shit.
Yep.
On a Salamis together is very good. I'm... Just imagine putting just like some big solar sails on a Salamis and then all of these guys... And then you mount a Skull Gundam on top of the mast.
No.
It's a surprise, you see.
No.
It'll
no.
transform. No. And just everyone Cha! Won't know
no.
it's coming.
Cha!
The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. He's just chanting at this, trying to exorcise the demon. It will not work.
So we come back to Amuro!
So poor Yorick. Learning the better features of the Psycho line of product. Singular. Yeah. Really, he gets shot at and is like, oh, that's what it can do.
That's a scatter laser. What the fuck?
Yeah. Four realizes that Wooder is in her fucking ship.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Psycho just drops out of the sky and stops shooting. Uh-huh. And Amuro's like...
This is where Amuro's like, I can't blow it up. It'll destroy Hong Kong.
It'll level the whole city, but also I'd never have to see this fucking thing ever again. Mm. Decisions. All right, fine. I'll keep the people alive.
Yeah. This is what's about to happen is literally the coolest thing we've seen in Gundam so far.
It's also the most magical bullshit scene we have seen in Gundam so far, and I love it.
It's also just us, them like, yes, 4 is the Lala of this one.
Yeah, like, no, we're not bullshitting you no more. So, all of a sudden the Psycho starts moving on its own as Amuro backs off. He's not controlling it at all. It rotates around. It starts flying away. Camille, meanwhile, is using...
It's possessed.
Ooh, Halloween theme.
Ooh.
We're late. Camille uses his bike to flash the Deus down, and the Psycho floats ominously towards a light on a building.
Yep. Wooder is like, ah, fuck, that's 4.
Beans.
Maybe this was designed for cyber new types.
Yeah, the Psycho kind of belongs to cyber new types, huh? 4 proceeds to be extra as shit by pulling that fucker in. Literally, like...
Into a building.
Mm-hmm.
Directly to her feet.
Mm-hmm. To her
feet. And then
feet
opening
is
the door.
A really good point that I didn't notice. Yeah. And makes Wooder climb out and onto the girder.
And then jumps in and's like, I got this, go away.
I got this, me and my magnum psychic dong. Bye. Yep.
She surprisingly does not murder Wooder.
I was honestly shocked she didn't immediately transform and just squish him like a grape.
I thought she might, like, rip him apart with psychic powers at this point.
Just flay him psychically,
just go full carry on him.
That would be impressive.
There's some more fighty happening. Camille, like, Amuro is like, why did you leave? And Amuro's like, why did you leave? And Camille's like, if you're not going to talk to me, I have to find my own answers.
Which is new fair. Type of bullshit.
Yeah, which is fair. There is a guy, you're a guy here who could tell me about these things and you're not doing it.
In Amuro's defense, last conversation got cut a little short, but Camille has a point.
Yeah.
Amuro should have probably immediately been like, I think you're psychic, so here's an info dump.
We need to go have a talk.
Yeah. I have the offhand theory, so instead of debating with it, why not just train everyone about it?
Yep.
Just in case.
Mm.
Violently shaking the Aeug.
Steph, Camille jumps off. I think was Camille in the Dodai?
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, that's what the inside of the Dodai looks like, I guess.
Yeah, and obviously, apparently, it was not being piloted by anybody.
Yeah,
because Camille's in it now, and no one else is with him. But Camille jumps out of the Dodai, gets slapped by Stephanie.
Yep, she wongs him immediately, and he's
Camille's
just,
like, whatever, meaner people than you have tried, and then says some, like, jumps in the Mark II and says some slightly sexist bullshit.
Does he? And all he says in the Japanese is, so that's a lady version of Wong, huh? And then just moves on.
Yeah, he does. I think it's the tone of voice he uses, and the fact that he does, like, point out that, like, oh, this is a... He says something about, like, who would listen to a spoiled... Who would die for a spoiled princess or something?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he does not say that in Japanese. He's just like, man, that was a lady version of Wong, huh?
Turns out America makes things worse. Go figure.
Weird. Yeah, so he does manage to take this in surprising stride this time. Mirai looks on also and is like, he's a different type, ain't he?
Yeah. He's a different kind of kid.
He's a different kind of kid, ain't he? Steph seems to agree. He then launches. Amuro, meanwhile, takes out some Zacks and is plenty good at killing people still.
You know what? I really want to... Just a quick sidebar. I think this is the main difference between how Camille handles this stuff and how Amuro handled it. Amuro had kind of, like, explosive reactions to a lot of things, where it seems like the worse off Camille gets, the more subdued he is, and the more he just takes things.
Well, I want to bring that back when we get to the end of this episode, because Camille does a thing where I'm like, ah, there it is.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Four is having this good old-fashioned thing we like to call a mental fucking breakdown in the middle of a battlefield.
Yeah.
She screams about having no memory. She wants it back. She wants shit to work out, actually. Like, just in general, she wants to be happy. Yeah. Fuck, and none
she
of this
she does
is
the thing
out,
again.
So fuck everything, let it burn.
Yeah, she does the same thing. Or she did in the last one where she wanted to refer to the other mobile suits as toys, where she kind of minimizes what's happening, which is sad. She gets to the spot. Oh my god, she gets to the spot where her and Camille kissed, and she just fucking smashes it.
Well, she reels back to start smashing it, and Camille jumps off his Dodai to land on the Psycho just as her fist comes down. And
to piggyback.
Yeah. And he lands on her back, and they both finally realize who the other one is. Sad music starts. It's... Oh, man. Her immediate question is, do you exist just to make me suffer? Camille, meanwhile, is begging her to stop and make everything okay. Of course, neither of them can hear the other, except psychically, maybe.
Yeah.
We're not even sure. There's no, like, implied psychic link that happens during this episode.
Yeah.
So I think it really is just two kids fucking wailing at each other without being able to hear each other.
Yeah.
Biggest fucking oof.
Ooh.
Yeah. Amuro is taking some passes, and as Four seems to be kind of cornering Camille onto a dock, and Amuro is like, why aren't you fighting back? Do you want to die? Amuro takes a couple of pot shots at the Psycho, which kind of tosses Four around. Camille then shouts, stop shooting! I'm trying to do something here. They then both collapse into the ocean. Camille jumps on over to the Psycho Gundam and actually gets out of the Mark II and runs to the head of the Psycho and bangs on it. She opens up the front and they have a brief conversation. As they're slowly sinking into the ocean. And Camille just bangs.
Not as dramatic as Char and Amuro falling from the sky talking, but...
Close.
Yeah.
Close. A little slower.
Sadder.
Because we needed to have some more... And sadder, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. he begs her to come out with him, go to the Doomla, forget all of this, we'll make new memories, we'll try to reverse it, we'll figure out a way. Surely they must be in your head, we can unlock them, something, anything.
Yeah, she says, he says, like, the AUG scientists can help.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, if the Fetty scientists can't help, what makes you think the AU can? Which I want to be like, because the Fetty scientists aren't actually trying to help you! Four, please!
Yeah. And that is something Camille even says. Like, what makes you think the Titans will actually keep their promise? Mm-hmm. What about anything you've experienced makes you think that? She still rejects him. Closes up the fucking thing.
Tells him to be a nice guy and stop being her enemy.
Yep. Camille runs back to his cockpit and jumps in.
We skipped over it, I think. But earlier, like, before she smashed the spot where they kissed, she said the line, like, something about how, damn these new memories, or to hell with these new memories, I want my old ones, or the new memories hurt, or something like that. I can't remember.
She definitely said such a thing in the Japanese.
Ooh, yeah. That's why, like, going back through when Camille was like, we can make new memories, I was like, ugh!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is unfortunately, like, I don't want to proclaim that this is, like, one of the first, but this specific Lego that we've just experienced is unfortunately a Lego that shows up in almost every mecha I can think of. Like, this is one of the standards. Like, this is 8-bar blues, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
This Lego piece, it sucks. It's shaped like a spike and it's always hidden on your floor.
It's a caltrop. It's a D4.
It's a D4. You should make little wax dice and try resin casting that, but to make them actual caltrops. Just accept it.
Yeah.
Make them actively dangerous.
Amuro rescues the Mark II and Camille.
Yeah, by grabbing him out of the fucking water, yeeting him into the sky with a dodai.
Yeah, and Amuro says, hey, watch this, I'm gonna style on this motherfucker. I'm gonna take out the Psycho Gundam without killing your girlfriend.
Yeah, Amuro then proceeds to throw Camille onto the dodai, kick off of Camille's head, backflip 3 times, stop time, shoot thrice, and then land on the dodai again, because he's in red, and you can just do that when you're in red. No, he shoots one bazooka shot square into the thing's fucking chest, and it does sink a little bit, but before he can get another shot off, nearby Hyzak blows off his hand. Which, I think it's the first time a jobber has ever, a true jobber has ever hurt Amuro.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm thinking
about it. It's because he was trying to hard mode this psycho.
Yeah, it's because he was trying to style like an idiot. something literally called Psycho. At this stage, those Zacks then do a flyby on their dodai, and one of them jumps off and tackles Camille into the ocean again.
Which Camille's not happy about.
Very not happy about, as this gives Four the opportunity to escape.
Yeah. He does literally cut that Zack in half, though.
He literally, like, when he comes up, he stares off where she's going, and then the Zack comes up behind him, and he literally smacks it, draws his sword, and cuts it clean in half, screaming, "Why'd you get in my way?" And we slowly fade away from that.
Oh,
and that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Camille is...
He's been trying not to kill pilots for a while now. And he just kind of lost his fucking shit here.
He's been trying to not do exactly that, yeah. Like, this moment is what he's been trying to not do the whole time, because he knows it's within his power to do this.
Yeah.
It's been interesting, because Camille has been keeping... It took Amuro 8 episodes to get to this point. Specifically, I point you to that time he just murked an entire base in the Gundam.
Yeah.
Around episode 8.
Yeah.
This time it took fucking 19.
Yeah.
And he's getting lolled at the same time.
It's not great.
This is the first time Camille I've noticed, or I've at least taken to heart, Camille striking down someone in anger.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Most of the time it's in panic or fear or accident.
Yeah.
Or just like reaction.
Yes. Like, don't get me wrong, Camille's killed people, but this is the first time it seems like he's gone, no, I'm going to kill this guy. And he did.
It's not
to death.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Bad day. Bad day for Camille. Yeah.
Bad day for that Zaku pilot.
Worst day for that Zaku pilot, yeah. Hi, Zach. Whatever.
It's fine. Yeah. We know. This one has yellow stuff on it.
Yeah. This one's an aqua Hi-Zac, too. It's the blue.
Yep.
Four has gone back to the ship and is crying in her cockpit.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing we didn't mention. The entire fight earlier.
She's weeping. She's just weeping openly weeping. Yeah.
And it's so fucking... God damn it. Tell me no, please. Wait. Dick.
Yeah, he, really coming for you. Coming for all of us.
I just want these two kids to stop being war orphans.
No, fuck you. Eat shit, go asshat.
Hold hands.
Perish.
Well, Fuzzy, I know. Hello, my friends.
No, I'm quoting. I'm quoting.
Oh, okay.
I've used my new type powers to tap into Tomino. I lied. I'm not an old type. You're an old type. I'm a new type.
I am. I'm very so fucking old. Yeah. This makes sense. This is why. Yeah.
Maybe you're God. What's that name? He died almost immediately.
That sounds like me.
Fucking. He also had a girl's name. No, he didn't.
Oh, Chalia Bull.
That's the one. That I'm shocked you got that. Hi. Good job.
He's the old man, new type. The one.
The one.
Anyways,
yeah. So she's curled up in, or excuse me, she's half passed out in the psycho's cockpit.
Yeah, like
still
like,
crying.
Oh, it's bad. She's like flopped over onto the side of the thing. She's bad. She's in a bad fucking way.
Wood proceeds to say that he's going to force her to pilot the psycho, and that their goal is to take out the Doomla no matter what, even if that traumatizes the shit out of your cyber new type. I don't really care. That's not a person.
Booter, you're a shit.
Yeah.
I don't like you.
Yeah.
He also, his English voice, the voice actor for Booter always sounds like three times more chill than he should. He puts very little inflection into his words.
Interesting.
I don't like it.
Stoner Wooder.
No, casual, not even that. Just like
orders war crimes.
Awkward, like it's awkward. It feels awkward.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should I order a war crime? Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's just like it feels like talking to him would make me uncomfortable. Like he's just.
I mean, probably he's the psychopath ordering war crimes and. Seeing a 16-year-old weeping in her cockpit and going, I don't care.
I'm fine with this.
I'm offended you think I care, actually.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mariah cares very much.
Cares too much. She's saying goodbye. Camille won't talk to her.
Well, Camille is locked up in his room, and Amro just kind of gives Mariah the head shake, and she's like, it's a shame I wanted to talk to him, but alas.
Yeah.
Now you'll take care of him, right? And Namra's like, yeah, I will.
He won't
die in vain for stupid bullshit, right? Yes, Mom.
Amro won't.
I won't.
Amro has plot armor.
Amro has no intention to. Amro has started referring to himself in the third person for the sake of comedy. Amro thinks it's the leather jacket. I've been wearing the leather jacket too long.
He has been wearing the leather jacket.
It's getting to my head.
Mirai once again steps up to Beltorchica and is like, hey, chill the pump the goddamn brakes.
Fucking listen to me right goddamn now. You need to hold your shit together because this is a war zone and you met an older guy a week ago, you stupid idiot. Yes, I get it. Sometimes they're kinda neat and have experience and might get promoted to, say, lieutenant. Just a random rank I'm pulling out of my ass for no reason, and you might end up having two beautiful children with him, sure. That doesn't mean you should rush things, because I sure as shit didn't. Slap, slap, and she walks away. That's the gist, at least.
Yeah. She basically gives, like, legitimately good advice again. Mariah's job in this one, Mariah's job in the last one is to, like, pull everybody's ass out of the fucking fire constantly. And in this one, she pulls their emotional asses out of the fire constantly.
I'd say more like she pulls their heads out of their emotional asses.
Yeah.
That is the trick. She does a reverse, fuck, the movie immediately vanished from my head.
I don't know.
Hancock. A reverse Hancock.
Right.
Yeah. I'm glad that movie never got a sequel. Anyway, because it was a good movie and it worked
it
perfectly
was,
well.
And it did not need a sequel at all.
So,
the sequel would have been terrible.
Absolutely atrocious. So Mirai then jumps in a helicopter and rides off to the Himalayas. After this, Bell also doesn't seem to take it too to heart, but her face does change, so I guess maybe there was some realization. I don't know. It's hard to read her because she's not in the right anime.
Right.
Also, she does not tell Amuro shit about what happened in that conversation.
Nope.
Camille, meanwhile, watches Mirai go as he chews on a nail, and the episode ends.
Oh, I can't help believe it. Oh.
Well, yeah, first there's that, but also, man, what a fucking mecha-ass episode. Holy shit.
You didn't do that.
I know. Next time, four.
You let me just...
Because we don't do that yet.
We don't do that there! Oh, no!
You fool! I'm not negging you, I'm being correct.
I quit.
Get back here.
I quit in shame.
Next time... Four must choose. Will she fight for her past or her future? Will Camille stay for her or escape to space? Is this the curse of human nature, these choices? Next time on Mobile Suit Fandom Zeta, The Heated Escape, you will see the tears of time. Oh, I can't help believing you. Yeah?
I'm legitimately going to beat myself up about that for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds in character.
I hate this.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 64 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you actually like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod. Become a patron at patreon.com/MobileSuitFandom, or you can email us at MobileSuitFandom@gmail.com. Also, if you are new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows, legally, for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember, if you're not fumbling your gender, sexuality, relationships, and operational parameters, are you really a mecha pilot?